Listen to the best of the church's music for the Epiphany season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the Epiphany season, 24/7. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
I'm always a little suspicious when someone comes up with a new way of conceiving of Christian doctrine. Now, albeit very few people will claim that's what they've discovered, though very few of them will say this is new. More often than not, they'll say, no, this is old. We've just forgotten. We've just misplaced it or lost it. Is the teaching that we've heard about for about the last decade or so in Lutheran circles called two kinds of righteousness, and if you haven't heard about it, we'll explain it to you here in the course of the next half hour. Is this teaching, is this the lost key to understanding Lutheran theology? Is it as vital to understanding Lutheran theology as the distinction between law and gospel, maybe even better than law and gospel? Joining us to talk about the teaching called Two Kinds of Righteousness, Pastor Lincoln Winter. He's pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Wheatland, Wyoming. He's author of several articles on two kinds of righteousness. Pastor Winter, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hello, Todd. Good to be here.
Is this teaching, so-called two kinds of righteousness, is it the forgotten key to understanding Lutheran theology?
I sure hope not, because if it is, then Luther's teaching was lost between about 1580, when the Book of Concord came out, and 1997, when there was an article published about it. So that would represent 417 years of Lutheranism being lost.
What is it, two kinds of righteousness? What was presented there in 1997 as kind of a new paradigm, a new way of thinking about Lutheran theology?
In 1997, an article was published, and in that article, the author claimed that you couldn't just reduce Luther. His genius was so great, you couldn't reduce him to just one thing, like, for example, law and gospel. But fortunately, the author of the article discovered what he called a golden thread running through all of Luther's theology that pulls it together, and that was the two kinds of righteousness. The first kind of righteousness is a passive righteousness that we have before God, and the second kind is the active righteousness, that is, our good works before man.
Now, take that apart for us. How is this alleged to be a key to understanding or to kind of comprehending the golden thread that runs through Luther's theology? What exactly is it?
Well, in 1519, Luther preached a sermon where he talked about it. And then in 1535, in his Galatians lectures, he mentions it right at the beginning of his Galatians lectures, where he talks about two kinds of righteousness, active and passive. And so, in a sense, it's a thread that runs all through and that it appears at the beginning and end. They would say that it also appears unknown to anyone until they discovered it throughout all of his teaching, and that without understanding this, we can't possibly understand what Luther is saying, so that this is actually, some are claiming, a better paradigm than law and gospel for understanding what Luther had to say to us, that now that we're forgiven the passive righteousness, we can serve our neighbor the active righteousness.
Now, let's talk about, first of all, law and gospel. What is that? The term paradigm is inadequate because it implies that somehow we've come up with a way of thinking about God's word and imposed it upon the Bible. I prefer to assert that God's word is law and gospel. That's how he speaks, in law and gospel. What is that exactly, Pastor Winter?
Absolutely, Todd. The idea that law and gospel is merely one way of understanding what God has to say goes against even Luther himself. And in fact, I heard someone say that you can't understand, specifically they said, Luther's antinomian disputations without understanding two kinds of righteousness, that law and gospel doesn't do it. But he starts that off by saying, we divide Christian doctrine into two parts, law and gospel. And the law is that God demands perfection, and we don't measure up. We are eternally condemned under the law. But because God loves us and does not want us to be condemned, he sent his son Jesus, and that's the gospel, the good news that Christ has done everything for us, and that the forgiveness we receive is absolutely free. We do nothing to deserve it. We do nothing to get it. We simply receive it by faith.
Now, why is this viewed as less than adequate? I mean, this is what I read in the advocates of two kinds of righteousness. Well, although they want to tip their hat to law and gospel, they can hardly not do it. Why do they view two kinds of righteousness as somehow better or necessary for rightly understanding law and gospel, or even a substitute for it?
That's a good question. I think law and gospel are enough. But to try to explain how they see it, not to defend it, but to show how they see it, there is in the church a problem that arises from time to time, and that is the idea that, okay, I'm saved, Jesus did it all, therefore I can just continue to do whatever I was doing. I don't have to stop robbing banks or getting drunk or cheating on my wife or whatever that is. And of course, St. Paul deals with this in the book of Romans. He says, are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Now, in Luther's day, this crops up as what's called antinomianism, that same teaching. And Luther and the Reformers address it with what we call the third use of the law. That is that, yes, we are indeed saved freely for Christ's sake, but the law still has a function for the Christian. It acts as a guide for Christian living. What the proponents of two kinds of righteousness are saying is, basically, because under the gospel we are free, that law and gospel then has to stop there. And unless we have this two kinds of righteousness, we have no further use for the law. I don't know where they could possibly get that idea. Our confessions are as clear as they can be, that there is still a use for the law. But this is basically an attempt to solve that antinomianism in a way that goes outside of law and gospel. And you're right. Some people have actually said that, you know, once you're saved, law and gospel have nothing to say about how you should live your life. Again, our confessions, Luther, Walther, they couldn't be clearer that that's just not true, even St. Paul.
Will a kind of an honest reading of the Lutheran confessions, will it find an article on two kinds of righteousness?
There's no article on two kinds of righteousness as such. I've been told that it can be found in the Large Catechism. And I asked a proponent, where in the Large Catechism? Because I don't see it there. I'm fairly familiar with the Large Catechism, and I couldn't find it. I was told if I can't find it, they can't show it to me, and that they're not going to engage in proof texting. So apparently it's some sort of secret knowledge that you either have or you don't. And to some extent that's true. If you look for, if you want to see this everywhere, you'll find it. Because, you know, Luther wasn't systematic in how he preached. He was very practical about it. And so it is possible, if you want to twist Luther into whatever you want, it could theoretically be done. You pull out little quotes here and there, and you say, he says what you want, but that doesn't look at all that Luther said.
If not explicitly in the Lutheran confessions, where did the proponents of two kinds of righteousness claim to find explicit mention of it in Luther himself?
In a sermon in 1519, he talked about it, very what we call early Luther. And then in 1535, his Galatians commentary, which is considered the late Luther, the mature Luther. He said, this is our theology by which we teach a precise distinction between these two kinds of righteousness, the active and the passive, so that morality and faith, works and grace, secular society and religion may not be confused. Both are necessary, but both must be kept within their limits. And then he basically goes on to say that the righteousness of Christ is everything, and our active righteousness is absolutely nothing. And the problem with the proponents of two kinds of righteousness have is they're saying that the righteousness, our active righteousness is very important. That's not there. In fact, Luther spends four paragraphs of his Galatians commentary talking about active righteousness. He spends the other 623 pages explaining why active righteousness counts for nothing.
We're talking about a teaching called Two Kinds of Righteousness. Pastor Lincoln Winter is our guest on this Monday afternoon, February the 24th. We'll be right back. Here's Eric listening in Chicago. Hi, Eric. What's up?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say I really encourage people to give to Issues, etc., as it's the flagship of confessional liturgical Lutheranism in the world, I'd say, on the media.
Issues, etc. is listener-supported, and you can support the flagship of confessional liturgical Lutheranism in the media by making a secure online donation at our homepage, issuesetc.org. Thanks for listening, and thanks for your support.
In Higher Things, we believe that if you put good Christ crucified for you Lutheranism into a youth, you'll get a good Christ crucified for you Lutheran youth. Join us this July at the Higher Things Crucified Youth Conferences in Florida, Wisconsin, Utah. Check us out at www.higherthings.org. Higherthings.org. Dare your youth to be Lutherans this summer.
Lutheran. It's not a slogan, it's a confession. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
We Lutherans were never aided by following along with some other tradition's theological priorities and catchphrases.
Issues, Etc. regular guest, Pastor Heath Curtis, coordinator for stewardship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod on a Lutheran approach to stewardship.
Other folks are not approaching it from our good, solid Lutheran understanding of law and gospel and vocation. There's a place to talk about this in Christianity, and we have a way of talking about stewardship as Lutherans without ever using the word stewardship, if you like. I'm going to talk to you today about your vocation in your home, in your church, in your society, and how each one of these makes a claim on you, on your presence, on your support, on your prayers. That's how we should talk about this as Lutherans.
You'll find several stewardship resources at lcms.org/stewardship. lcms.org/stewardship. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Lincoln Winter is our guest. We're talking about a teaching called Two Kinds of Righteousness. Before the break, you were talking about Luther's Galatians commentary. Now, from what you were saying there, kind of the preponderance of the commentary speaking against one of the key assertions of the advocates of two kinds of righteousness. It sounds like what you're saying that is, if someone wants to claim Luther's Galatians commentary as support for this kind of pervasive key to understanding Lutheran theology, they call two kinds of righteousness, they're going to have to either ignore or reinterpret about 95% of what Luther wrote in that commentary.
No, far more than that. I mean, four paragraphs versus 623 pages. You have basically a page and a half and 600 pages against that idea. And that's excluding all the other things Luther wrote in his life. It took 126 years to collect the definitive writings of Luther. It's called the Weimar edition of Luther. There's almost 80,000 pages. There's a total of seven paragraphs on two that explains the two kinds of righteousness.
So, my deepest concern about this is not so much, well, it is, obviously, with the attempt to kind of improve upon the Lutheran confessions in terms of law and gospel. But my deeper concern is defining Lutheranism from writings outside the Lutheran confessions. Are Lutherans bound to what Luther preached in 1519? Or even what Luther wrote in several paragraphs in his great Galatians commentary?
In the sense that with Luther's theological writings, we see him sometimes explaining the confessions. And at one point, our confessions say, you know, Luther taught this. If you want more on what we're saying, look there for an explanation. But that's an explanation. That's not normative. That doesn't define who we are. That's what the confessions are for. Well, ultimately, that's what Scripture is for. The confessions agree with Scripture. Insofar as what Luther says agrees with our confessions, then yes, we would agree with it, but we're not bound by that, and that certainly shouldn't become the standard by which we define Lutheranism.
What is your concern here, as you have looked at both the proponents of two kinds of righteousness, which is, we're not just talking about a handful of papers anymore, we're talking about almost a generation of new pastors who have been taught this. From its proponents. What are your concerns there, Pastor Winter?
Right. It's been taught for a number of years, and one of my concerns is that even pastors who didn't go to seminary when it was being taught don't know it's being taught. And when I explain to pastors that this is going on, they say, wait, they're teaching what? So that's the first thing, is that we have new teaching being introduced to the church that is not being identified as a new teaching. But my real problem with two kinds of righteousness is that it inverts law and gospel.
How so?
That is, the first kind of righteousness, that active righteousness, that passive righteousness from Christ is the gospel. And that comes first in this scheme, so that now we have the righteousness we are given followed from God, followed by the works we do. So salvation becomes about doing good works. And certainly, you know, Lutherans teach that good works are necessary for the Christian. That's in our confessions explicitly. Those works don't save us. And with the two kinds of righteousness, you lose that distinction, because the law ultimately isn't the law anymore. It's presented as if it was gospel.
So you're saying, when you say it inverts law and gospel, it presents gospel first, then law, as opposed to what the Lutheran confessions explicitly affirm, that is, law first, then gospel.
Absolutely.
What is this going to produce?
Well, that's the question. It's a sort of an academic form of pietism, Pelagianism, those old teachings that have been rejected by the church. The idea that, you know, you're saved now, you must do this, and you must do these works. And Walther, in his great treatise on law and gospel, explicitly says that this is not correct. He says that you're not rightly distinguishing law and gospel if you use the commands of the law rather than the admonitions of the gospel to urge the regenerate to do good. And that's what's happening here. And so what's going to happen is people are going to hear that basically God is pleased with them because of their good works. And that's going to lead to the same thing it always leads to, a Pharisaic self-righteousness.
Let me see if I have this straight so far, and without impugning motives. Apparently, in an attempt to deal with a perceived problem in the biblical, in the Lutheran Confession's advocacy of law and gospel as a way of reading Scripture and understanding theology, the advocates of two kinds of righteousness have essentially said, law and gospel is good, but it's not rightly applied, or it's not rightly understood, or it's not enough. We need to have this other teaching that begins with the gospel and ends with the law.
What the proponents of two kinds of righteousness are saying is that the one righteousness is what they call coram Deo. It always sounds better when you say things in Latin. That is, before or toward God. And the other kind of righteousness is toward our neighbor. But when Luther presents these, he says that the passive righteousness is from Christ. And Of course, he goes on to say this is really everything. But the active righteousness, even as far as Luther explains it, is from ourselves. And so Luther doesn't quite go so far as to condemn, but certainly says it's of no account, whereas as the proponents of this are saying that the active is toward our neighbor and the passive is toward God. Luther says it's the exact opposite way, that the passive righteousness is from Christ and the active righteousness is from ourselves, and that's why it can't save us.
You've alluded to this, but I'd like you to comment on something that is actually found there in Luther's commentary on Galatians. A simple paragraph, I'll read it, and then I'd like your explanation. Luther says, "I do not seek active righteousness. I ought to have and perform it, but I declare that even if I did have it and perform it, I cannot trust in it or stand up before the judgment of God on the basis of it. Thus, I put myself beyond all active righteousness, all righteousness of my own or of the divine law, and I embrace only that passive righteousness, which is the righteousness of grace, mercy, and the forgiveness of sins." What is he saying there?
He's saying that it's all about what Jesus did for us. Todd, you talk a lot, I've heard you talk a lot about, you know, when you have a sermon, not only who is it talking about? Is it talking about you or Jesus? And then, is Jesus the subject or the object? Jesus is the one who saves. He's the subject. And this is that same thing you talk about. When we start inverting things, now Jesus becomes the object. That is, that we do for him rather than him doing for us. It's always, always, always about Jesus doing for us.
We've talked about the dangers of this. Finally, let's talk about what is the best way to respond to those who say, "Hey, my pastor just graduated from the seminary. He was taught there. I think they taught him long gospel, but he's really on about this two kinds of righteousness paradigm." What's the best response?
I'm not sure how it is that you can read Luther's entire Galatians commentary and not see it distinguished rightly, or Walther's Law and Gospel and see it distinguished rightly. So I would say encourage those pastors to actually read all of Luther's Galatians commentary, first of all, but also to say to their pastor, keep it on Jesus and his work. It has to stay there. Paul says it so well. We preach Christ crucified. That's where it always needs to remain, on Jesus.
Pastor Lincoln Winter is pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Wheatland, Wyoming. He's author of several articles on two kinds of righteousness. You'll find links to these resources at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Lincoln, thank you very much for your time, and keep up the good work.
Thank you very much, Todd. It was a pleasure speaking to you.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time going through the Issues Etc. comment line, a line that we leave open for you all the time for your questions, comments, show suggestions, and criticisms. Then Pastor Tom Baker will join us to teach a Sunday school lesson. Speaking of good Lutheran theology, in the latest Issues Etc. journal, Ross Johnson has written a great Wittenberg Trail feature called Lutheranism, Christianity's Best Kept Secret. His story of traveling from evangelicalism to the Lutheran confession. You can read all about it for free in the latest Issues Etc. journal. Go to our website, issuesetc.org. Click the big red button on the right-hand side and enter your email address. You are subscribed absolutely free to the online Issues Etc. journal. You can find back issues as well under the publications page at issuesetc.org. I've also written an article in the latest journal on the book of Jonah, just a short essay, Jonah in Four Not So Easy Steps. That's the Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org. Click the big red button. When we come back, we're going to go to the Issues Etc. comment line. This is the line we leave open for our listeners, especially our beloved on-demand listeners, to use anytime, and we'll respond to what they have to say there. Then Pastor Tom Baker will join us. We'll teach a Sunday school lesson, the Transfiguration of Our Lord in Matthew chapter 17. That's hour two of Issues Etc. in 5 minutes.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Are you looking for a Lutheran elementary school that uses the principles of classical education? A school where students enjoy a solid and Christ-centered academic environment, including classes such as Latin, World History, and Classical Literature? Trinity St. Paul Lutheran School in Hamel and Warden, Illinois is the school for your student. We're located just 30 miles northeast of St. Louis. TSPLutheranSchool.org or 618-633-2202.
Does your church need a backup organist? The virtual organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.